Normally, I would reserve it for a Friday, but I'll go ahead and do it on a Monday. Give me that deck of yeah. Even Albie knew where I was going with that. Welcome to the jungle. What's cracking? My name is Jim Rome. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. What's going on? Welcome to the show. It is so good to be back after a week off. Nice to have you here. All right, so let me set it up for you. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. If you want to look ahead, go ahead and do that. If you want to go backwards and talk about some of the things that I might not have been here for, go ahead and do that too. Once again, 1-800-636-8686. You know how to follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome, and also email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Lots to cover. Some of this I've got to go backwards for, but mostly I will look ahead. In terms of the show itself, coming up in about 15 minutes, an NBA insider for Yahoo Sports, Chris Haynes. I've got my thoughts on NBA free agency, which I will give you momentarily, but he was also in the middle of breaking some of the biggest news when it went down. Chris Haynes joins me next segment. UFC 239 with something else. Kevin Ioli, a combat sports reporter for Yahoo Sports, joins me at the top of hour number two. Also in hour number two, we're at the All-Star break in Major League Baseball. So, an ML... What? Haven't done that in a week. Adam Hawk, into the studio. Damn, Hawk, you got a little bounce in your step. What's up, man? You're happy the boss man's back. Hawk had the week off, too. John Morosi, Fox Sports MLB reporter, joins us in hour number two. Third hour's wide open. Got a podcast coming up on Wednesday this week. Jim Rome podcast typically drops on Tuesday, but for the right guest, if that guest wants to go on Wednesday, we will do that. Let's just say it's the right guest. Email number one, before I can even give you my takes. Dear LA Lakers, you call yourself a salesman, you son of a bitch.
You call yourself a salesman, you son of a bitch.
Regards, the Los Angeles Clippers.
Hit the bricks, pal.
Signed, Geoff and Lincoln. War IRA trying to fish Rome's phone out of the lake using a stick, a shoestring, and a paper clip. That was no ordinary phone that went into Cranberry Lake. I will share that story with you a little bit later on. War me sending this email from the wife's delivery room. That's a lie, Geoff. Hey, look, the Lakers did what they had to do. The Lakers did the right thing. The Lakers got burned, but the Lakers did the right thing. But that's not what I'm leading with. So I'm back from 5 days off, and I've got just four words. I could say these four words and then just shut the show down for another couple of weeks because nothing sums up anything better than the following four words.
What it do, baby?
You know who belong, who that voice belongs to, don't you? Let me play for you one more time.
What it do, baby?
That voice belongs to the guy who was running the association. I'll tell you what it do, baby.
What it do, baby?
I'll tell you what it do. The Clippers. The LA Clippers did the damn thing. They did absolutely everything. That was a holy bleep moment on Friday night in a Saturday morning when the news broke that Kawhi was signing with the Clippers. An absolutely huge, franchise-altering, league-changing move. The LA Clippers, the team that nobody ever wanted to sign with, the team that nobody ever wanted anything to do with, just landed the guy that everybody wanted. And they ripped him from Toronto, where he had just won a championship, and they kept him away from the Lakers, where he would have been part of an absolutely legendary Big Three. They did this. The LA Clippers did this. And don't make this about what the Raptors and the Lakers didn't do. Geoff and the rest of you. I will get to that later on. Instead, make this about what the Clippers did do. Because it's absolutely stunning. It's jaw-dropping. And as big as it is, I'm not even sure that people are making a big enough deal out of it. It's one of the most amazing things ever. Literally. And that's not me bashing the Clippers and their current organization. This is me hyping them and pointing out how far they've come. That's me hyping Steve Ballmer for what he's done since he took that team over. Remember back when I had Ballmer on my Showtime show and I asked what Clipper Nation could expect of him? Maybe you didn't see that then. Roll it right now.
What is the message to Clipper Nation? What do you expect from the fans? What can they expect to see from you?
We're coming, baby.
We're focused. We're committed. We're coming. We've got one of the most outstanding teams with one of the most outstanding coaches. We're going to support them, starting with me and throughout the fan base, the best we can. And we're going to just get after it totally, 100, 200, 600%. Boom!
Ballmer, 100, 200, 600%, baby, boom! Now, you might have laughed then, but my man was focused, and he was committed, and he was locked in. 100, 200, 600%, boom! Landing Kawhi, boom!
600%, boom!
Like, you might want to laugh at Ballmer when he's losing it on the sideline at games. But are you going to tell me that that doesn't matter? This guy wants to win, and he's willing to do anything and everything necessary to win. You want to laugh at some of his legendary moments when he's on the mic and he's yelling and he's dancing and he's losing his bleep? You go right ahead. My man is not that far away, though, from doing that at an NBA championship parade. Yeah, I said it. This could be coming to a parade through downtown Los Angeles. And it's not just Ballmer. It starts with him, but it's not just him. It's Doc Rivers. It's Lawrence Frank. It's Michael Winger. It's Lee Jenkins. It's Jerry freaking West. Like, landing Kawhi is not a fluke. It's not some salary cap accident. And they were the only team left standing. They were on Kawhi's case all year long. They had a plan. They were working that plan every damn day. And they were going up against the team where Kawhi had just won a title. And against their own big brother. And little brother just hospital jobbed big brother. Hell, 10 years ago, they won 19 games. And they weren't trying to tank. They were just being the Clippers. That's what they did, baby.
What do, baby?
And then they signed Kawhi Leonard, the most sought-after free agent. The guy who had just led the Raptors. The freaking Toronto Raptors to the NBA title and was named Finals MVP for a second time. That the Clippers got this guy really is unreal. It really is. Especially since every talking head and dope in the world had him going to the Lakers or maybe staying with Toronto. So yes, him going to the Clippers is unreal. And you know what's even more unreal? You know what's even better than getting Kawhi? Getting Kawhi and Paul George. And that's exactly what they did. Thanks to a monster trade with the Thunder, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are going to be playing for the Clippers. I said Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are going to be playing for the Clippers. And if it feels like I'm repeating myself, it's because I am. Because on some level, it still seems unreal. On some level, I'm still having a hard time buying it. Now, let's not get jaded here. Let's not let the fact that news breaks, the internet shatters, and then it's rebuilt in a matter of hours rob us of the significance of this. The Clippers just added not one, but two MVP candidates. Yes, Paul George is coming off a pair of shoulder surgeries. But when he's healthy, he is one of the best two-way players in the league. And the only reason he's not the best two-way player in the league is because Kawhi, the guy who recruited him, is the best two-way player in the league. And now they're on the same team. And they're joining Pat Beverly. You think that trio is going to play some nasty defense and cause some headaches? Hell yes, they are. Then you add Montrezl Harrell, Lou Williams, Landry Shamet, Mo Harkless. They effectively took a team that gave Golden State all they could handle in the first round last year, and then they added two MVP candidates. And not just two MVP candidates, but two MVP candidates who appear to be perfect fits for the team's mentality and the attitude and for each other. I'm looking at that roster. And I'm looking at what they can do next year. And now six more words come to mind. Turn up, love you guys, awesome.
Turn up, love you guys, awesome.
Look, nothing's guaranteed. And there will be bumps in the road. And all it takes is one injury to jack this entire thing up. But this Clippers team is damn good. Here's something I've never said before on this show. Did the Clippers just become the NBA title favorites? Again, the question, did the Clippers just become the NBA title favorites? Not only have I never asked that before, but the answer has never been yes until right now. And when the question is, did the Clippers just become NBA title favorites? And the answer is yes, then there's only one other question that needs to be asked. What it do, baby?
What it do, baby?
Man, that was awesome. Not the take. Well, yeah, the take. But the fact that they got it done. And they got them both. And I want to get into all the other issues involving that. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so they're the team to beat, period. They're the team to beat. Doesn't mean they're going to win it, but they are the team to beat. What about the Lakers? Where does that leave them? They got Anthony Davis, but they missed on Kawhi Leonard. Are they still NBA championship contenders? I'm going to say yes. They're not the team to beat. They're not the best team in LA, but they're still contenders. You get two of the top 10 players in the NBA on the same roster, you're a contender. And I want to break down what they ended up doing with the rest of their roster. And again, yes, they did the right thing by trying to get Kawhi Leonard. They had to. If they get that guy, it changes everything. The fact that they didn't get that guy doesn't mean they're not contenders. They are. Dear Jim, who's the new guy? Sincerely, that coworker. Unwar, working hard, or hardly working guy. Yeah, it took a week off. That'll happen. Hey, Rome, why do you take so much vacation anyway? Because I get so much vacation. Dear Jim, I enjoyed seeing your vacation photos, but why did you choose Eagle River of all places? Are you a successful radio and TV mogul or a flooring contractor? Was Bora Bora all booked up? That amoeba-infested water looked very inviting. Regards, dysentery. Drew in West LA. Man, why do you gotta hate? Why you gotta hate on everything? We went to Wisconsin. We went to Eagle River. I was floating on a lake. It was awesome. And why didn't I go to Bora Bora? Been there. Hate to be that guy, Drew, but you put me in that spot, didn't you? There are a lot of bugs in Wisco. And this just in. Breaking news. There are lots of bugs in Wisconsin, and they're big. Dynatrap, baby. 1-800-636-8686. Lots to get to. Plenty more to come. I've got Kevin Ioli coming up next hour. We talk UFC 239, where the fastest knockout ever went down. It was an amazing moment, and the presser to follow was almost as good. Coming up next, Chris Haynes. The sun is shining. The temperature is heating up, which means it is grilling season. This season, eat like the party never ends with Kingsford. Grill burgers, chicken, corn, brats, ribs, all kinds of food with that mouth-watering, dyed-and-gone-to-heaven flavor that only Kingsford can fire up. Pick up a bag of Kingsford charcoal at your local retailer and start something big. Remember, it is not a party. If you're not eating good, and you're not eating good unless you're eating food good with Kingsford. Again, get that bag of Kingsford charcoal at your local retailer and start something big.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Once again, so good to be back. I had last week off. Lots to get caught up on. I'm looking for a telephone call. Toll free, 1-800-636-8686. But before I do that, we are joined now by a senior NBA insider for Yahoo Sports. He is host of the Post It Up with Chris Haynes podcast. Again, the pride of Fresno, a friend of the program, a very busy man. Chris Haynes is my guest. Chris, good to have you back. How are you?
Bro, man, glad to be here, man. Glad to be back. And most importantly, glad that Kawhi chase is all over with, man.
Let's talk about that for a minute. Take me back to Friday night. Where were you on Friday night? What was your night like?
I actually had just left Summer League. I was in bed resting. I think it was around 10-something. It was like 10:40. Then I got a text saying L.A. Clippers. And so I responded back. I'm like, Kawhi's going to Clippers? They were like, yes. I'm like, okay, I'm good to go. Go now. That was it. That's how I got the. I was surprised and shocked. That's why, you know, this is a trusted source of, you know, somebody close to, you know, Kawhi's camp. So when I got that word, I was a little, you know, I just wanted to be sure. You know, I just wanted to be sure because, you know, we didn't hear much about the Clippers all week. It was pretty much Lakers or Raptors. So I had to go have a little back and forth exchange of something, you know, I usually don't do, you know, with one of my trusted, real reliable sources because, you know, just had to make sure, you know, when there's a Clippers, I just knew it was going to be a bombshell once I tweet that info out. But once that happened, man, Jim, you know, that happened at 10. I probably didn't go to sleep till 5 that morning because, you know, things just started happening from there. And, you know, Paul George news came out right after that. So that was one of the most hectic free agency chases in a while because you had so many people saying other things. You had fake bloggers getting on saying things. Everything that everybody was saying, and the teams that everybody was pointing to, nobody said the Clippers. So that was a crazy hectic night.
Chris Haynes joining us. It was a crazy night, and the announcement is so stunning. Chris, how do you explain that? The story that everybody was all over. I mean, everybody was on that story, yet somehow nothing leaked out from the Clippers' standpoint. How do you explain in this day and age that someone was able to keep that story so quiet and leak-free for so long?
I think this will happen. Just give a little background. So when, you know, the later tenure of, you know, San Antonio Spurs, when Kawhi was there, one thing they did not like was reports surfacing and getting out. They believe it came from the Spurs about how the team was distraught, disappointed with the way Kawhi was handling his rehabilitation from his thigh bruise, and questioning if he was hurt or not. And then reports getting out that, you know, the team was disappointed, had a meeting. You know, they did not like that. And so going into this free agency process, one of the main focal points of Kawhi was the trust factor. You know, can he trust the organization? And that's why, you know, I have to give credit to the Toronto Raptors for what they did this year. Because, you know, he had to build trust with the medical staff, with the front office. You didn't see many things leaking out from the Raptors. And so that was a point of emphasis. You know, they did not want, going into this free agency process, they did not want this process to be a play-by-play type of situation as far as what he's doing throughout throughout this free agency process. And teams knew, they were aware that if aspects of these meetings or aspects of dialogue, you know, that was taking place during these meetings, these dinners, they knew if it got out, then their chances of getting him would diminish. And so that's why it was so kept secret. I got a story, you know, pertains to the Clippers. I'm not going to mention this individual, but a high office personnel with the Clippers, let me say this real quick. So Clippers, they were told throughout the organization, do not say anything, do not mention anything about Kawhi, don't say anything to nobody. So then there's this high personnel official with the Clippers. He was talking to his son, about, you know, casual news, and all of a sudden his son asked him about Kawhi. And the guy hung up on the son. And, you know, that's right. That's how serious this whole situation was. If you think about all the things that happened during free agency, you know, we heard Magic Johnson come out and told the media basically how his conversation went with Kawhi, what was said. And then, you know, Kawhi, it was like the OJ type chase pursuit when Kawhi was in Toronto. And so, you know, those things didn't, you know, those didn't play well. But nothing came from the Clippers. Chris, and we see the end of the result.
Chris Haynes, my guest. Chris, go back to what you said about Magic Johnson. So laying it out like that and knowing what we know about Kawhi and his need for secrecy, how do you think Kawhi and his camp reacted to the stuff from Magic about meeting with him?
I don't think they liked it. I think they understand that Magic's Magic, but and he's also not a part of the organization anymore. But it just didn't come off well. It didn't come off well. And, you know, everybody knew, all the teams knew, like, if you're going to have an opportunity of really landing this guy, you know, the process had to be kept under wraps. It had to be. And I'm not saying that was a game changer or that was the reason he didn't go to Lakers, because that wasn't the case, but it didn't help. I'll just leave it at that.
We're talking to Chris Haynes. All right, so whenever you add a star to a team, there's supposed to be this adjustment period or process. Didn't seem, Chris, to be an issue in Toronto with Kawhi. How do you think Doc Rivers and the Clippers go about working Leonard and Paul George into this team?
I think it's going to be a little bit of an adjustment period. I do, because this team already, you know, they're a well-oiled team, has continuity success, and they're bringing back the bulk of their squad. So I think it'll be a little bit of a learning curve, but I think they're going to be top two teams in the whole league. Maybe even be number one. I think they're just so talented. I think they're so coached. I think they're one of the deepest teams in the NBA right now. I don't think there'll be much of a problem in these guys integrating themselves and figuring it out. And you add in, you know, Kawhi, Paul George, Patrick Beverley, have potential to be one of the most ferocious defensive threesomes, you know, we've seen in a while. It's going to be crazy, Jim. I'm just looking at my, you know, I can't wait till the NBA schedule gets out, because, you know, I might have to get a condo in L.A., Jim. It's going to be like, it's never been like that, really. I know you've been in L.A. for a while, Jim. It's never been
never.
Like that, really.
No. So
I'm looking forward to seeing how all this is going to take place. I'm looking forward to seeing how the media contingent is going to try to divvy up their assignments. And this is going to be crazy. It's really going to be a battle of who owns L.A., the Lakers and Clips.
Chris Haynes joining us. All right, so to that point, before you go, now, if you had told Laker fans, Chris, a couple of months back, that they would have LeBron and Anthony Davis going into the season, they would have taken that. They would have been pumped. But after being part of the Leonard chase and missing out, a lot of Laker fans are going to be disappointed. How do you like the Lakers roster right now?
I think, you know, with them losing out on Kawhi, obviously, you know, they're going to Plan B and Plan C, and it's filling out fine. And obviously, I understand why there's a kind of a dip off in enthusiasm coming from the Lakers, you know, because I think most people felt like, okay, once they got LeBron and AD, okay, well, convincing anybody else to come here is easy, and that wasn't the case. You know, Kawhi is just a different cat, but you know, their roster is shaping out. I like, you know, if somebody was asking, you know, to compare the Lakers roster top to bottom to the Clippers, I think the Clippers got them. But I think the Lakers are going to be right there, man. You don't necessarily need three stars. You know, you need two good players. They have two superstars, and then you need a great supporting cast. And I think if those guys can play their role, Lakers going to be right there. Look at what Toronto did, man. It was you could say two stars. Kawhi and Pascal, you know, Kyle Lowry kind of took a step back. That's all you really need, Jim. So, they you know, Lakers in a good situation, man. They got LeBron and AD, so they can't be too disappointed.
Hey, Chris, one thought. The Clippers did exactly what they had to do, and I totally support it, but if they were unable to get Paul George and they couldn't get that second star that Kawhi allegedly needed, what do you think Kawhi would have done? Where would he have ended up?
That's a good question. I'm gonna say I don't know, but my guess would be I think he would probably have still gone to the Clippers probably. That would be my guess, Jim. You know, he loved Toronto. Remember, like, this is the first time he's gotten to pick his destination since college. You know, he was drafted into the Spurs. He was traded to Toronto. He's not a cold weather person. He doesn't like the cold. You know, I reported that, you know, he didn't want to go to Toronto when I broke the trade last year. And so, you know, I think it would have been the Clippers. He's not into joining super teams and doing things of that nature, even though he listened to those guys' pitch and out of respect and, you know, gave it some thought. But I still think it would be hard for me to believe that he wouldn't have still picked the Clippers if they couldn't guarantee a second star.
He's the man who had that story, a senior NBA insider for Yahoo Sports, the host of the Post It Up with Chris Haynes podcast. My man, I would say take some time off. I know you won't, but take some time off or don't. Great to have you back, man. Thanks so much, Chris. Appreciate you.
Take care, Jim.
All right. Talk soon. Chris Haynes. He said, I might just have to get myself a condo out there. You should. Just know that your half a mil will probably get you 500 square feet. but some dirt and weeds, though, in the backyard. I don't know. I was just in Wisconsin for a week. It's kind of in my head. Wah! Adam Hawk had a week off. This email says, "Dear Jim, my sources say Jake is going to either Notre Dame or Missouri. Wisconsin is out, but it's very close between Notre Dame and Missouri." Signed, Chris Broussard. "Dear Jim, I'm taking a lot of heat for having your son's college destination wrong, but when I reported it, Wisconsin was pretty much out. So I wasn't wrong." Signed, Chris Broussard. Man, don't send me stuff like that. Honestly, nobody had any idea where this guy was going. Nobody. And that, to me, goes back to the point that I made. In this day and age, it is almost impossible to keep anything a secret. Almost impossible for something not to leak out. But the Clippers did an amazing job with that. In fact, when you also get Oklahoma City involved, they had to keep it under wraps. Whole thing, this is what makes this whole thing utterly amazing to me, that the Clippers pulled it off and not only got Kawhi, but got Paul George, and it didn't get out, and it was a shock literally to everybody except the few people who were involved. All right, we will take a time out. Go ahead, Adam, it's fine. Bring it on in, Adam. When we return, because I've got Kevin Ioli, thank you. Kevin Ioli at the top of the hour. I want to talk UFC 239 next. This email says, "Dear Kawhi and PG, welcome to LA. Signed, fake tans, ridiculous haircuts, and smog. Brian in Syracuse." It's a great take, Bri. It really is. Really good stuff. Fake tans, ridiculous haircuts, and smog. One problem. They're both from here. They know what this place is all about. That's why they're coming back. Kawhi wanted to come home. He wanted to come to LA. But remember, coming to LA is one thing. Going to the Lakers is another. When we return, phone lines are open. And I do want to talk UFC 239. Next segment. Stay with it. You're in the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. Kevin Ioli. Top of the hour. Bottom of the hour means I've got a sports.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
As you know, Monday is an ATP Day. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit a question right there and then listen later on in the program. I might answer yours. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. 1-800-636-8686. Kevin, I always coming up the top of the hour, so I've got some thoughts on UFC 239, which I'll get to momentarily. This email says, "Hey, Jim, what it do, babies?
What it do, babies?"
Signed, Antonio Cromartie. Yeah, it's also pretty fresh, pretty different. Mike in Buffalo hurting him. "Hey, Rome, we've seen this story before, and the Lakers should have known this was coming. Revenge of the freaking nerd. Nerds, like Ballmer, always win. Nerd. Signed, John in Huntington Beach." "Hey, Jeffrey. I think they're talking about us." "War of the League, changing the schedule."
"Where are they, Jeffrey? I think he's talking about us, Michael."
"War of the League, changing the schedule to having the Lakers and Clippers play 12 times. It's going to be amazing. In the battle for LA, I've got the Clips. But there is a battle. It's going to be great." Wells in the 360 tweets, "We miss the Donald Sterling days." This is on the LA Lakers. Man, it was only 2 years ago that they lost their two alleged franchise players, their two alleged cornerstones, the guys who are allegedly going to lead them to the promised land, Blake Griffin and Chris Paul. Only 2 years ago. And yet 2 years later, they're so much better with the two guys they have right now. So much deeper. Better in every way. And one of the reasons why I've got the Clippers over the Lakers, in fact, all the reasons, is because they are better. better team, better organization, better owner, better coach. Although I do like the Lakers coach. But Doc Rivers is one of the biggest reasons, reportedly, why Kawhi Leonard and Paul George want to come to the Clippers. They're just better, top to bottom, than the Lakers. Dear Jim, even we think the Lakers made a huge splash in the news over the weekend. Impactfully yours, one Wisconsinite jumping into Cranberry Lake and causing flooding of biblical proportions. Signed, Den Lakers. Are you calling the folks of Cranberry Lake fat?
Fat?
Is that what you're doing, Den Lakers? War LeBron recruiting Curly O'Neal and Meadowlark Lemon to complete the creation of Showtime 2.0. I saw some fat, portly folks in Wisconsin, and I saw some folks that were in really good shape. I saw both. I saw a lot of things. I saw some really nice people, and I saw a couple of a-holes. And I saw some big bugs, really big bugs. All right, so if it wasn't for KL and PG going to the Clippers, then the most stunning result from the weekend probably would have been what went down at UFC 239 Saturday night. And no, I'm not talking about Jon Jones being taken to the limit or Amanda Nunes establishing herself as an absolute legend. What I'm talking about is Jorge Masvidal and Ben Askren. Now, in case you didn't know this going into that fight, Masvidal and Askren do not like each other. Askren has got a habit of getting under the skin of his opponents. And Masvidal was no different. Quote, "I just don't like the dude. He's a corny idiot. He meets people and he's trying to come up with jokes about them right away and see if he's the alpha or whatever. I don't do that. If I just met you, I don't bleep with you. I give you your space. Don't bleep with me because maybe something might happen. I just don't like that dude, man." End of quote. Now, the thing is, Askren was undefeated in MMA. Not only had nobody beaten him, but there was a school of thought that nobody could beat him. And when they stepped into the cage, the talking continued right up until the start of the fight. Roll it.
And these guys just flapping gums at each other. Any chance they get. The fight clock is brought to you by Modelo. Oh!
Holy crap. I mean, I don't know how many times I've seen that and I still can't get over it. Masvidal went running across the cage and he dropped Askren, who had been unbeaten, with a knee in under 5 seconds. Another reason why I love MMA. I've said this a million times. I'll say it again right now. Everybody gets beat. Everybody gets beat. And he ran right across the cage, dropped him with a knee in under 5 seconds, then landed a couple of punches on Askren while he was on the canvas before the refs or ref could separate him. Even when the ref ended the fight, Masvidal was still talking junk as Askren was napping it out on the canvas. I always thought that Connor ending Aldo in 13 seconds was the most ridiculous KO of all time. But Masvidal made that time seem like an eternity. I mean, run that back again.
And these guys just flapping gums at each other. Any chance they get. The fight clock is brought to you by Modelo.
I mean, did you hear that? The announcer hadn't even finished the promo for the fight clock, and the fight was already over. Like, and the fight clock is brought to you by... Oh! Alvin, for the people in back, run that back one more time.
Any chance they get. The fight clock is brought to you by Modelo.
And the thing about that is, that was not a fluke. That was not lucky. That was something Masvidal had locked and loaded. He was going to break that out to start the fight. And he had a bunch of reasons for doing it. But none better than his response in the cage when Joe Rogan asked him about it. Let's join that interview midway. Masvidal explained his thinking on starting the fight the way he did.
Why the flying knee?
Because he's a bum.
Why the flying knee? Because he's a bum.
Because he's a bum?
Damn, that's good. That's good because that's actual bum smack in the octagon. And yes, I will allow that. As Askren himself might say, boom, roasted. But no, that does not give you losers license to come in here with your tired zingers about how Ben Askren uses shrimp as a Bluetooth. Do not make this about you.
Because he's a bum.
You have nothing to do with this. Keep it about Masvidal. And show some respect for the fact that he says, I'm not the best at cutting promos. Then he starts to walk off. Then he comes back to say, you guys are welcome for ending that dude. It's outstanding. There's even more where that came from.
He's so predictable, man. He's a scrub. But a part of me just wanted to throw it out there so he knew, like, if you do shoot like an idiot, like you only know how to, your head's going to get clipped, and that would put the brakes on him, and then beat him up for 14 minutes and 30 seconds and execute him. Or, you know, he took the bait. You know, I don't know, but he walked right into it, you know?
Oops! Wow, Alvy. Anyway, what's popping Twitter? Rest or rust, Alvin DeLauro? To recap, according to Masvidal, Askren is a bum, a scrub, an idiot, and he walked right into that hospital job. Oh, and you're welcome. And he wasn't done with Askren when the fight was over. He was still landing haymakers at the presser afterwards.
I saw some criticism. People say the punches weren't really necessary. Maybe
they were super necessary.
Why were they necessary?
What do you mean, why were they not necessary?
Because he was already knocked out at that point.
But the referee hadn't pulled me off. And my job is to hit somebody till the referee pulls me off. So to those people, I would say maybe don't watch him and maybe go back to soccer.
I saw some other criticisms perhaps of your celebration afterwards. Any regrets at the celebration or your behavior in the cage afterwards?
Man, there's not too many people that I've disliked. I have over 50 pro fights, and he's one of them, you know. He talked about my manhood, talked about my culture, my ethnicity. Where do we draw? Why do certain people get to do stuff? You online, so you could do anything. Everything is cool before a fight. You're allowed to do and say whatever you want. Like other fighters are not doing, talking about people's religions, wife, even kids. That's cool. But after a fight, I'm not allowed to showboat and rub it in your face. So you and guys like you could see it and be like, maybe I don't talk so much shit because when I cross one of these real motherfuckers, they're going to make me pay for it, man. They're going to embarrass the shit out of me. And it's not over for Ben either. He still has to deal with me. If I see him at Whole Foods, I'm going to still slap that dude up because I don't like him.
Man, this dude, that is cold-blooded. This is not a dude you want to cross. That was one of the most legendary nights in UFC history. A five-second knockout of an undefeated fighter and then an absolutely legendary presser afterwards. There's so many great moments in that. Like, my job is to hit someone until the referee pulls me off. If you have an issue with that, go watch soccer. Like, I'm not sure what's more lethal, the flying knee to the head or the fire that he was spitting afterwards. And there's still more. He actually seemed disappointed that it ended as quickly as it did.
My whole vision of this, if you could get inside my head and replay my thoughts, were me beating his ass for fucking. But, you know, I think in a way he got off easy.
Man, I have never seen a presser like that after a knockout like that. And I didn't even finish my take, my thoughts on that. There's more. There's even more, but it's going to have to wait. But I'll finish it. When we come back, we'll pick up that topic as well. Kevin Ioli is going to join us. I want his thoughts and impressions of what he saw in Vegas. UFC 239, that's coming up next. Phone lines are open. I'm back from a week off. I'd love to hear from you. 1-800-636-8686. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Hour number two, straight ahead.